Brethren, welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're in our study in the book of John in chapter 11. The Lord Jesus has been there with his disciples over beyond Jordan, if we understand it correctly. Lazarus, his friend, has died. The Lord Jesus has said that this is for the glory of God and for the glory of the Son of God. The disciples have a misunderstanding. At first they think that that Lazarus is sleeping, but the Lord makes it clear unto them that he is dead. Yet the Lord has referred to it that Lazarus is asleep. And so that's the way the Lord considers death, as sleep, because of his power, because of his ability regarding such. The Lord has come near the city. He's found that Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Martha, hearing that the Lord is near, comes from the house. Mary stays back. And Martha cries unto the Lord, "Oh, if you'd have been here, he would not have died. I have confidence that you certainly could have healed him, and he would not have died." The Lord declares in verse 23 of John 11 that thy brother shall rise again. Martha has great confidence that he will rise again in the last day, in the resurrection of the last day. The Lord had taught that. They believed that the Lord's people, the hope and blessing of eternal life would be manifested even in a resurrected physical body. Not just eternal life of the soul, but eternal life of the trichotomy of man, spiritually, physically, and the soul of man will be intact in that day because of what the Lord will do. And so Jesus speaks to her in verse 25 to speak to her about who he is and what he can do and what he is going to do. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Oh, what a glorious passage. He says, "I'm the resurrection." He said, "The resurrection is me. I am the resurrection. I am the life." See, that's the necessity of the sinner to have everlasting life. They must have the Son. Salvation is not a system. Salvation is not a litany, a listing of doctrine. Salvation is not knowledge about the Scriptures. Salvation is having Christ as Savior. And he says, "I am the resurrection." He says, "I am the life. The great I am is these things unto his people. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He says, "My power is so great that even though my children, saved sinners, even though their bodies will die, yet will they live." Listen to what he says in verse 26. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" Martha, do you believe this? He says, "I am life. I am the resurrection. Those who are dead, even though who believe in me, even though they're dead, they shall live. Those that believe in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" See, the soul is what's saved, and the soul will not die in the lake of fire, which is the second death. The body, the physical body, that last remnant that the saved sinner has of sin in them, this old physical body will die. But that death has been the death of the physical body because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has been turned into a blessing because the child of God is released ultimately and that final way from sin. We have the darkness of sin. Without Christ, we have the darkness of sin upon our soul. Our spirit is dead and in bondage to sin. Our physical body is in bondage to sin. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, the soul is saved. The eternal soul of that man, woman, boy, or girl is saved. The spirit is made alive and set free from sin, and the Spirit of God lives within. And the last remnant of sin is in the physical body, and death is the release of that, and the resurrection, the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the complete salvation manifested not only in the soul and the living spirit within man because of salvation of the Lord, but also a sinless, perfect body like unto Christ. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? She saith unto him, verse 27, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of God. You are the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, which should come into the world. She says, that's what I believe. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. So Martha goes back to the house. The Lord challenges her about her faith in him, and her expectation of him. She goes away and she goes to her sister there at the house and says, The Master, the Lord Jesus, he is calling for you, Mary. Go unto him. And so she goes to him. In verse number 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was at the place where Martha had met him, so he waited there. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. And so those that are there seeking to comfort them, they see that they get up and Mary gets up and they think, well, she's going to go to the grave and she's going to spend some time there and mourning the passing of her brother. Verse 32, Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And so Mary declares the same thing that Martha did. Oh, Lord, if you'd have just been here. If you'd have just been here, he wouldn't have died. I know. I've got great confidence that you could have healed him and that he would not have died. I know that. If you would have just made it in time, we thought we sent your word in time. Oh, Lord, if you'd have just been here, he would not have died. Then when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Why was he troubled? Oh, no doubt he loved Lazarus. No doubt he loved Mary. No doubt he loved Martha. He did. The scripture says as much. He loved them. But why would the Lord be troubled in seeing all of their weeping? Why would he be troubled so? Is it because that there's nothing that can be done for Lazarus? No, the Lord has already established that what's happened with Lazarus dying is going to be to the glory of God and to the glory of the Son of God. Why would he be troubled? I believe that he was troubled because of their unbelief in him, their doubt of him. The Lord knows full well what he's coming to do. He's not concerned about Lazarus having died. I don't believe. He knows that he has come to do a wonderful thing regarding Lazarus. He knows his power and his ability. He knows the purpose of this from the beginning, from before it even happened. And so I believe his groaning in spirit and his troubling in the spirit was that of the faithlessness, the doubt that mankind has. Even his children, oh, we doubt. The Lord says if we would have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, such small faith, would do such great things. Faith in God, not faith in self, not faith in circumstance, not faith in what we can orchestrate, but faith in the Lord. And said, the Lord said in verse 34, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, John chapter 11, verse number 35, he wept. Why did he weep? I believe because of their doubt. Their doubt. Then said the Jews, "Behold how much he loved, how he loved him." And of course, that's what they see and what they say looking on. They believe that he's weeping because of his love. And he does love them very much. But the thing is he groaned in spirit when there was that doubt that was manifested. And listen to what is said here even beyond that. And some of them said, verse 37, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" They have doubt. If he'd have got here in time, it would all been okay. And listen to what the scripture says. "Then with that doubt, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it." So the Lord, he groans again after they express the same thing. He's groaning. He's troubled. "Do they not know who is here? Have I not proven who I am? Have not the works that I have done and the power of God manifested in me? Have they not shown who I am and the ability that I have?" Remember, the Lord has raised folks from the dead already. Yet they have forgotten. Yet we doubt. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." So doubt again. Oh, Lord, the stink of the decomposition of his body will be terrible. It's too far gone, Lord. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said a prayer. "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Already the Lord had been praying. This is an audible for the sake of those that are around. "And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." That they may believe that I am sanctified, signed, sealed, and delivered by you, Father. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. We see here the power of the Lord Jesus Christ manifested again. If my memory serves me correctly, this is the third time that he has raised one from the dead. Those that are there believe that if he would have been there on time, things would have been all right. But even when the Lord Jesus Christ seems to be late, when he arrives, everything is going to be just fine. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Sinner, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him for the salvation of your soul and for everlasting life. That's our prayer for you. Well, I see that our time is long past. Farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles, and you will find our church house on the right. just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.